Good morning, everyone. It's great to see everybody here on this Lord's Day. I want to extend a very special welcome to those that might be our guests today. Thank you for choosing to worship with us, either here in person or online. We'd love to get to know you a little bit better. If you're here in the sanctuary this morning, there in the pew back in front of you is a slip of paper. If you could, at some point during the service, fill that out. Let us know a little bit more about yourself and how we can better serve you as Second Baptist Church. We sure would appreciate that. You'll have an opportunity at the end of the service to just place that in the offering plate as you leave. Also, another way you can do that is go online, sbcr.org. There is a button that says I'm new, and there is a short form online that you can fill out and let us know a little bit more about yourself. As you can see this morning, the stage behind me looks a little bit different, and that's because Vacation Bible School has concluded. Amen. I just want to first of all say thank you to those who helped this week make it possible. Those who decorated, they stayed, they came up on Sunday and helped finish the decorations. We had workers throughout the week loving on kids, and I just want to share with you that we had two children commit their lives to Jesus Christ this week. Amen. That's an incredible thing. So if you did not or you were not able to help this week, I know you were probably praying. So thank you for that as well, because as Pastor Chris said even last week, we understand that this is such an incredible evangelistic tool, especially in children's ministry. And as a result, two more individuals are in the kingdom of God as a result. I will say also that we had several kids on Thursday evening have questions. And so God's working in their hearts. Continue to pray, because there's going to be ripple effects that we will see probably within this summertime of children maybe even taking that step and following Jesus. Amen. I just want to make you aware of just a few things that are happening in the life of our church. One of the things that you may have seen on the screen, we have started a men's Bible study at 3:30 on Sundays. It's called The Life of a Jesus Follower. So if you want to be a part of that, I would encourage you to do so. I'm excited about it. We're 2 weeks in, but you're not going to miss anything. So men, if you want to come and join us today, 3:30, we'll actually be in the fellowship hall today. The AC's got fixed, so we'll be there. Amen, right? Thank God for air conditioning, especially on a day like today. Tonight, as a result of the weather being so warm, we're going to meet here at 5, but I think we plan to write some notes to some of those families that we have connected with through Vacation Bible School. That'd be a good follow-up to that, and see if we can further connect with them beyond Vacation Bible School. So 5 o'clock, we'll meet in the fellowship hall as well. This week, I want to make you aware, you may have seen on the news and notes, there is a senior adult outing that will happen Tuesday, planning to leave here at 10:30. So be aware of that, not show up at 10:30, but we're planning to leave at 10:30. So be aware of that this Tuesday, an opportunity for senior adults, or for that matter, anybody else that wants to go. If you want to say that you're a senior adult and you're 30, go ahead and come. I'm sure they won't turn you away. Right, Mr. Steve? Amen. All right. One other thing that I wanted to mention, as you can see, Pastor Chris is not here this morning. He and Dadrian, they are out in California. This is the week for the Southern Baptist Convention, so be praying for them as they are there. This is a very pivotal time in the life of Southern Baptists, and so we're so glad that Pastor Chris and Dadrian have an opportunity to be there to represent Second Baptist as we look to move forward in these trying times in the world today. So be praying for them as they are away. I also want to mention that this Wednesday night, we will have our Wednesday night activities starting back again with children and with youth. So be aware of that as well. I think that is all. I know that was a mouthful, right, of what's happening. A lot of times, you know, summertime hits, there's a lot more activity that's going to be happening in the life of our church. Be sure and check out the news and notes that goes out each week in an email. If you do not receive that during the week and you have a good email address, please call the office, let Linda know, and she'll get you on that email list. All right, now as we pause for just a moment, and we quiet our hearts. It's been a long week of activity, amen? But it's been good. So maybe in this moment, as we bow our heads and we close our eyes, we just express some gratitude to God for just how good He is. Because we saw two children commit their lives to Jesus this week. And that's incredible. So thank God for the salvations. Thank God for working in the hearts of children. Thank God that He's continuing to do that. Thank God that He's on His throne, that no matter what may come our way, He is faithful and He is sure. And He is able. Lord Jesus, as we quiet our hearts and we think about Your goodness, we're overwhelmed with gratitude because who are we that You are mindful of us? Who are we that You choose to be a part of our lives? Who are we that the needs that we have, You, Father, Your desire is to meet those needs. So we say thank You. Thank You for the salvations this week. Thank You for moving in children's hearts. God, continue that work. I pray we see more salvations. I pray for our time this morning as we lift our voices in praise to You. God, your word says that you inhabit the praise of Your people. And I pray, Father, that You would do that this morning. That we would sense Your presence in a very tangible way. God, that as a result of Your Spirit moving, that you would bring comfort and peace and help. And God, that You would open our hearts to what You have to say to us today. God, our prayer is that everything that we do, everything that we say here today, it would glorify You. Would You do that? Would You help us to do that? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing, Be Thou My Vision?
Dwelling, and I with Thee. sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Beginning to end my life in your hands. Great, great is your faithfulness. You never I see all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the at the cross, I surrender. washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless, and there my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. All the
Amen. It's great to sing about the faithfulness of God and how He provides for our every need and how His mercies are new every morning. Amen. I'm glad they're new, aren't you? I'm glad. I'm glad that when we do look to the cross and we see that Christ died there for our sins, that it's not about what we can do. It's not about cleaning ourselves up. It's about trusting in what God has already done through His Son, Jesus Christ. He saw our need, and He said, I'm going to do something about it. And thank God He did. Amen. And I stand here today as a man who has been washed white. Whew. Yeah, this is not a part of the sermon, but it kind of is. Be like King David in Psalm 51, where he is confessing his sin before God. And he knows that God can forgive him. And he says, cleanse me and make me whole. Wash me and I'll be whiter than snow. And all that
that sin, all that junk in our lives that weigh us down is lifted off of us, and that peace that we have because we have been reconciled to God, we have been made right with God in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what, honestly, the kids talked about this week. And this is really where I want to land today, as you see here on the screen. The recreated life, their verse for the week was Ephesians 2:10. And you probably know it very well. It comes right after we have the 8 and 9 where it says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast," right? And so what I want to share with you today, several weeks ago I had the opportunity to preach, and I talked about the crucified life, right? Of what it means to crucify ourselves, to mortify, to kill off sin. And there's a purpose behind it, amen? That it's not just a removal of things, but it's a filling of our lives. And God is in the process in my life of recreating me in Jesus Christ. Many years ago, and you still can find the show on different networks right now, but you probably remember Extreme Home Makeover. Anybody remember that show? I don't know if you ever watched it. There's already some spinoffs, some different shows. You know, Chip and Joanna Gaines, they have their show about remodeling things, right? When the idea was for Extreme Home Makeover, they would find families that had houses, that had homes, and really a dilapidated condition, right? I mean, it was not fit for either them to live in, or it just wasn't functional, you know, for their family. And they would choose a family, and then Ty would come in with his group of designers and construction folks, and they would have a certain period of time in which they would recreate this home. And y'all remember there toward the end of the show, they'd have the family, they'd bring them back. And a lot of times they would take the family on an excursion, different places that they've always wanted to go, just so that they're not around as everything's being recreated, right? And they get some ideas from the family, especially from the kids, or the things that they like, you know, and so that when they're recreating their rooms, that they have some sort of theme. And, you know, the whole show was about how each person was going to do this room and this room. They all took like an area of the house, and they recreated it. And you remember at the end of the show, they would bring the family in, and they have the big bus, right? And you'd have everybody in the town, and they were so excited, and they would say, "Move that bus." Did you ever yell that at the TV too? I don't know if you did. But we would watch this, and then you would see the family's response as they gaze upon their recreated house for the very first time, and the joy that came in, especially as they walk in. And the show was really, it was pretty ingenious, because it kind of sucked people in, because we always like that story, right? Of something being recreated, something being renewed. And you wonder why. You wonder why, because, and I'm going to tell you here at the beginning, and I'm not going to spoil the sermon, but it's because we as human beings, because of sin has marred the design of the Creator. And we long to be renewed. Even though we don't realize it at times, we long to be renewed. Every human being longs to be renewed. The sad part about it is this: people try to renew themselves with all sorts of things, and they don't realize that it's with God, in Jesus Christ, that only then can you be remade. Amen? That's why we like that show. And as the family would walk in, you know, they would pan out to what the house looked like before the recreation. And then as they walked in, it was like it would fade into the new creation that these designers and these... Y'all remember this story? I want to tell you something. There's something infinitely more incredible that is happening on the face of this earth than a recreation of a home. And that's the recreation of a life. A home, even though it's recreated, 50, 60, 70 years down the road, it might need to be recreated again, right? But when God begins to work, what Paul said in Philippians 1:6, he said, I'm confident that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it, right? God is not going to stop working on, he's still working on me. I mean, we used to sing that song. He's still working on me. He's not going to stop. In fact, if we submit ourselves to him, we're going to be recreated. That process of transformation will occur daily. And we could just sit back and watch and see what God is doing in our lives. I want to talk about that recreated life today. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, if you found your place in God's Word or in your electronic device, would you please stand if you're willing and able? It's just one verse this morning. I have 3 points that I want to walk through and talk about the recreated life. Paul says here, after he talks about being saved by grace, he says this, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." Father in heaven, we are so grateful for the truth of your word that sin, though it marred the creation, you sought to recreate through Jesus Christ. I'm thankful this morning that in 1982, January 3rd, that you got a hold of my heart. And you begin that process of recreation in my life, as you have done in many lives here today, whether in person or online. Father, you are in the process of recreation. God, I pray today that as we examine your word, and we talk about what you're trying to accomplish in our lives, God, may our awe of you increase. Just as we sang, I'm in awe of you. God, may that be true of our hearts today as we leave. For Father, we don't want to stay the same. We want to be changed. And we want to be changed by the power of your word and the working of your Holy Spirit. Would you do that, Father, for us this morning? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'll be honest with you, I'm a little amped up today. I know that's surprising, but I'm amped up because of what we talked about earlier. We had children this week, Thursday night, God began that process of recreation in their lives. And let me tell you something, you had a part in that. Whether you were here or you were at home and praying this week, you had a part in that. And that's the beauty of the church. That's the beauty of a community of believers. That's the beauty of our second family, that we're in this together. And God calls us to be together, unified in this goal of seeing recreation happen in people's lives. Amen? So let's talk about this. I hope this morning, I know a lot, it's not going to be earth-shattering this morning. This is a reminder this morning about what is happening in our lives and what we ought to be about as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ. We should be desiring to see something incredible happen in somebody else's life. Something infinitely more incredible than a house or something, some physical object being recreated here on this earth. Main idea this morning, I got to get to that, don't I, Alright? I got to get the main idea. God desires to recreate people. I think it's pretty plain. If God did not desire to recreate people, He would not have sent His Son Jesus. He would have left us here on this earth to flounder in our sin and to try to make ourselves better, which is, by the way, impossible. So God desires to recreate people. So the question that I have for you this morning is this: does your life reveal evidence of recreation? Does your life reveal evidence of recreation. Just as I said earlier in that show, that Extreme Home Makeover, and the many others that are on today, there is a difference between that structure at the beginning of that show and at the end. There is evidence that something has been changed. There is evidence of recreation. And so, therefore, the same thing is true in our lives. If we have placed our faith and trust in Christ Jesus, there should be evidence that God is doing a work inside of us. And it looks different, right, on different days. Some days it's that I don't speak in my car as I'm driving, and somebody does something on the road that I don't like, right? Like cut me off, or slow down really quick without using their signal and turn. Someday, y'all don't do, I'm speaking about myself this morning, because I do that. I found my, and y'all have heard me talk about this before, but I found myself doing that with Erica and Ethan in the vehicle, and then I found myself hearing them talking about other drivers. Well, Dad, why did they do that? And I started to realize, they're hearing me talk about other people and how poorly I think they're driving, right? Of course, I'm perfect in my driving, obviously. Anyway, I know that's a simple way. I know that's a rather humorous way that we can see an evidence of that. But I'll tell you this. One glaring evidence is when we are communicating the truth of the gospel to those around us. When we are, by words and by the way we behave and act. Amen. So I want to share with you three things this morning. Three things. The recreated life is, first of all, reconstructed by God. This basically what I want to share with you from this single verse is the who of recreation, the what of recreation, and the why of recreation, all right? So if you want to put that out in the margin of your notes or in your Bible, this is really what this verse is, a summation of what Paul had been talking about in the previous nine verses. Because he talked about how we were dead in our trespasses. That he talked about how we couldn't do anything about our predicament, our situation, and that it was all God who saved us. And so now he wants to bring it all together and remind us that if God is the one who has saved us, then God will continue that work. He will be the one who recreates us. Amen? So first of all, we're reconstructed by God. This word here, workmanship, as we see in the Christian Standard Bible, it's literally, the Greek word is poema, all right? Poema, which sounds like a word, poem, right? Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? I used to write poetry when I was younger, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. When you think about poetry, you think about creativity, don't you? So think about that as you think about God and His workmanship or handiwork or even masterpiece or even work of art. John Phillips says this in his commentary on Ephesians. He says, each of our lives is the canvas on which the master is producing a work of art that will fill the everlasting ages with his praise. Did you get that? We are his work of art that will fill the everlasting ages with his praise. Because as God recreates us and the world around us see the difference that he is making in our lives, That is one of the ways in which can influence someone to look to God. And as I said earlier, Every one of us here on the face of this earth, we long to be recreated, but we try to do it ourselves through alternate means. And what we want to do is we want to have Christ on display in our lives, His masterwork, His work of art on display in our lives, so that those people who are trying alternate means will see that God is the only way. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I thought that was appropriate to say right then. We are His work of art. And I could just see, you know, Bob Ross, you ever remember seeing Bob Ross? And how he was so calm, right? And when he was painting. And many times you were like, what is he doing, right? And then as the canvas unfolds, the picture in which he had in his mind. So what he would say, you picture it in your mind, and then you place it upon the canvas. And once his vision becomes reality on the canvas, you're like, whoa, I wish I could do that. I'm telling you, God, He has a plan and He has a purpose in His mind. And it is unfolding each and every day in our lives. If we are trusting Him and if we are submitting to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but you're like, what just happened in my life? That wasn't me. It can only be explained by God and the work of His Holy Spirit in our lives. And you're just like, whoa, there's no way I could have done that on my own. The Apostle John talks about this, about being reconstructed by God in John 1, verses 12 and 13. But to all who did receive Him, God gave them the right to be children of God. To those who believe in His name, now listen to this, who were born not of natural descent or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. It is as a result of God's work. And listen, and he continues this thought further in John chapter 3 when he's meeting with Nicodemus and he tells Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, even though he was a religious man, even though he knew Scripture, the Scripture they had forward and backward, even though he was incredibly intelligent, he was like, what are you talking about? And Jesus says this in verse 5 of John chapter 3, truly I tell you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you that you must be born again. Now listen to this, the wind blows where it pleases, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. This reconstruction project, it's by God and the working of His Holy Spirit. Listen to what the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2 says. Therefore, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, that almost sounds like it's the onus is on us. It's our responsibility to work it out. But listen to how he follows it up in verse 13. For it is God who is working in you, both to will and to work according to His good purpose. And let me tell you something. God has, as I said earlier, a plan and a purpose for your life. He has this vision that He wants to unfold on the canvas of your life. And let me tell you something. I know for fact that my vision of myself is different at times than what God has for me. So that's why it is God who's at work. He's the energos. He's the energy behind what is happening in my life. He saved me and He's going to recreate me. He's not done with me yet. Thank God. Y'all should say amen there. Y'all, that was the best time to say amen. Because, you know, I'm not going to be perfect. You know what? That's okay. But I'm going to try. I'm going to do my best to cooperate with Him because I want to see. I want to see what He's unfolding in front of me. Listen to what in Titus chapter 3, but when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appear, He saved us. Not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to the mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit, He poured out His Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. Listen to what C.H. Spurgeon had to say. The spiritual life cannot come to us by development from our old nature. Development from our old nature. I have heard a great deal about evolution and development, but I am afraid that if any one of us were to be developed to our utmost, apart from the grace of God, we should come out worse than before the development began. What is he saying? He's saying, it's God. It's God. And apart from His grace, apart from His new mercies every morning, we won't be the same. Listen to this. We won't remain the same. We'll get worse if left up to our own devices. But thank God He's at work. Listen to what Spurgeon also said. He says, our new life is as truly created out of nothing as were the first heavens and the first earth. This ought to be particularly noticed, for there are some who think that the grace of God improves the old nature into the new. It does nothing of the sort. Let me remind you, Jesus did not come to make sick people well. He did not come, right, to make good people better. He came to make dead people alive. That's totally different. That's totally different. And that leads me into this second point this morning. Not only are we reconstructed by God, for we are His workmanship, right? We're reconstituted in Christ. I like that word, that reconstituted. Because that word conveys that it's at the very core of our being that something different is happening. This Greek word for created is katidzo, all right? Katidzo, which means to change completely, to transform. Alexander McLaren said in his exposition on Ephesians, he says, for it is something done in you. It is not something that you get. It is something that you become. The teacher of this letter, of the whole New Testament, is that the profoundest and most precious of all gifts will come to us in Jesus Christ, and which in their totality are summed up in the one word that has so little power over us because we understand it so little and know it so well. And he says that word is salvation. It is change in a man's nature so deep, so radical, so vital, as that it may fairly be paralleled with a resurrection from the dead. That's the extent of our reconstitution in Christ Jesus. 1982, January 3rd, almost 8:30 in the evening, when I knelt before my mom and dad's bed and I confessed my sins and I asked God to forgive me and to become Lord and Savior of my life, and I raised up, it was as if that picture in Romans chapter 6 was happening, that I was raised to walk in newness of life. Not as Jonathan Whitlock per se in the Spirit, but in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't understand it completely. I didn't then, and I don't now, but I do a little bit better now. I understand what he's trying to accomplish. He's trying to make me look more like Jesus. The problem is, at times, I want to hold on to the old Jonathan. Right? You should say, yes, you do. Yes, you do. But thank God, he doesn't give up. Thank God that he says sometimes, hey, nice try. Let me have a shot at it. I'll show you the difference. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man, anyone, is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Created in Christ. We're reconstituted in Christ. Now, the Lord is a spirit, Paul says in back in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. The Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We all, with unveiled faces, are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is from the Lord who is the Spirit. So this is, I know you probably have heard me talk about this before, but this is what's happening as we are being transformed. It says from glory to glory. So every time I submit myself to the work of the Holy Spirit, I submit myself to God's plan and design for my life, God's glory is on display, right? I take another step toward Him, and His glory is on display, and I'm looking more like Jesus. I take another step, and His glory is on display. And as I walk down these steps, and I go out those doors, and I start communicating the wonder of what has happened in my life, His glory is on display. Now, let me tell you something. That can become addictive, right? Because you want to see that happen, not just so that people can say, wow, you're such a good person, because that is not the truth. You want to say, wow, what a good God. Wow, what a good God. Because I've been trying to recreate myself, and it's been hopeless. It's been hopeless. How does that happen? How does that happen? Boy, that's a wide open door, isn't it? Let me tell you about the goodness of God. Amen. Galatians 6, 14 and 15 says, "But as for me, I will never boast about anything except the cross." At the cross, I surrender my life. "Except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world." Listen to this, "For both circumcision and uncircumcision mean nothing. What matters instead is a new creation in Christ Jesus." That reconstitution that is happening within the very depths and the very core of our being. Colossians 2 verses 9 through 12 say this, "For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by Him, who is the head over every ruler and authority. You were also circumcised in Him with a circumcision not done with hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ when you were buried with Him in baptism." Like I talked about earlier, Romans 6, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life, "in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead." Listen to what Warren Wiersbe says in his commentary on Ephesians. "The same resurrection power that saved you and took you out of the graveyard of sin can daily help you live for Christ and glorify Him. At great expense to Himself, God worked for us on the cross. And today, on the basis of that price paid at Calvary, He is working in us to conform us to Christ. God cannot work in us unless He has worked for us and we have trusted His Son. Also, He cannot work through us unless He works in us. This is why it is important for you to spend time daily in the Word and prayer and to yield to Christ during times of suffering. For it is through the Word, prayer, and suffering that God works in you." That same resurrection power is at work within each and every one of us who have committed their lives to Jesus Christ. And it's reconstituting ourselves into Christ Jesus. Oh, there's a hymn. I've marked it. I had it on my mind this morning. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. Y'all remember that? "Since Jesus came into my heart, I have light in my soul for which long I have sought." Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll, since Jesus came into my heart. There's a wonderful change. There's a wonderful transformation because of God's handiwork that is occurring within my life and within each of your lives. If only we would allow it to happen more. Glory. Glory. It was one of the kids this week that they were sitting right about where Levana's sitting right now. And they were being counseled, and they gave their heart to Jesus. Pastor Chris came in. You know what he did? Y'all remember? Y'all were in here, right? He said, "Glory!" Right? Because that's exactly what happened. The glory of God on display in that moment. And I can't wait to see in that child's life that next step, the glory. We should say it all the time, right? Because it should be happening all the time in our lives. Glory! Okay, maybe not. I don't know. All right, y'all say, okay, you got one more point. Let's get to it. Reconstructed by God, reconstituted in Christ, and we are reconditioned for work. Listen to what the Scripture tells us again. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. I read in one commentary, it said this, works do not justify. Works do not justify, but the justified man works. That's good. That's good. Our works don't justify us. Our works do not make us right. There's nothing that we can do. But guess what? Because of what has been done and because of what is being done in our lives, work naturally happens because it's part of God's plan. Part of that vision that God has that is unfolding on the canvas of our lives are those works that God has prepared ahead of time for us to do. Also, in one of the commentaries, it says, good works are not incidental to God's plan, but an essential part of God's redemptive plan for each believer. Good works are demonstrated, and this is what this says, I thought it was great, gratitude, character, and actions. Gratitude, character, and actions. Gratitude's I think it conveys that when I am grateful to God, guess what? I'm telling Him about my gratitude for my speech. Character is what's happening within my life, and those actions are a result of the character transformation that is occurring. And so let me tell you something that God's been working on me here recently. He's reminding me how ingrateful or ungrateful I am. I've been noticing that lately. I've been noticing how I take for granted His new mercies and His grace. And I treat the sacrifice of Christ on the cross so flippantly, so carelessly. And why do I say that? It's because I see the sin ever before me. I feel like the more grateful I am about God and the sacrifice of Jesus in my life, the less I'm going to want to sin. Because I realize the costliness of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And I want to be grateful. I want to share my gratitude because He's my Savior. And He loved me so much. So God reconditioned me for work. That's my prayer. And He does. Listen to what He says in Ezekiel. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. This is God talking. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you, and listen to this, and cause you to follow my statutes. That means we're following his commands and carefully observe my ordinances. If we are following his commands, then we're doing his will. We're being reconditioned for work, not for our own benefit necessarily, although it winds up being for our benefit. It's for the glory of God. And if it's for the glory of God, then it will be for our good. Listen to what the Apostle John says chapter 14, verse 12. Truly I tell you, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. Listen to this, and he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Oh, the greater works. Don't you long to do the greater works that Jesus said? He says, you will do this. It's not you might do this. If you are following hard after God, if you are carefully observing his commandments, his statutes, and his ordinances, that means that you're right smack dab in the middle of the will of God, and you will see those greater works happening. I want to see it. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Timothy. So if anyone purifies himself from anything dishonorable, he will be a special instrument set apart, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. We set ourselves apart. We allow that reconstruction project to occur in that reconstituting of the very core of our beings into Jesus Christ. And naturally, the outflow of that happens are the works that God has prepared for us to do beforehand, because he has reconditioned our life, not to be about self, but to be about Jesus Christ. Listen to what Peter says in his second letter. He says, for this very reason, make every effort. Now, let me help you understand. Our effort in this, it's this cooperation with God and what he's trying to accomplish in us. He says, make every effort to supplement your faith with goodness. Goodness with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control. Self-control with endurance. Endurance with godliness. Godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The person who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted and has forgotten the cleansing from his past sins. Peter says, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly provided for you. God has a why in what he is doing. And that why is so that the good works that he has planned for us to do ahead of time, that they'll be realized in our lives. Listen to what Alexander McLaren says again in his exposition of Ephesians. He says, God does not lead us on roads that are too steep for our weakness and too long for our strength. What he bids us do, he fits us for. What he fits us for, he thereby bids us do. Let me read that last statement, because it's worth it. What he bids us do, he fits us for. What he fits us for, thereby he bids us do. What is he saying? God has called us to a life of holiness, correct? In his word. God has called us to follow his commands. This is what he bids us do. This is what he calls us to do. And here's the reality of it. If we submit ourselves to him, he will give us the power and the ability to do that which he asked us to do. He's not going to say, do this, and then step back and say, okay, have a go at it. Now, there are times when God says, do this, and I say, I think I've got this one on my own. But inevitably, I mess it up. God says, hey, Jonathan, go and do this. And I should say, all right, but I'm going to need your help. And he says, that's exactly what I was planning to do. That should be the conversation that happens. I used to say this. You know, they'd have the like coaches and other people, they would say, when I say jump, you should say how high, right? You ever hear that? Here's my thought. And maybe this gives way to maybe being ahead of God. When he says jump, I want to jump and I want to say how high on the way up. Because whatever height he needs me to go, he's going to help me get there. Does that make sense? I don't know if that makes sense. That makes sense to me. Because if he says do this, I'm all out and I'm going to say, God, I don't know what's going to happen here, but I know you're going to help me in it. Because you're going to get the glory. And I'm not. So go back to my question this morning that I asked toward the beginning. Does your life reveal evidence of recreation? I think that's a valid question. Because if it doesn't, then maybe you should ask yourself, am I a child of God? It's not a horrible question to ask to see if you're in the faith. Because God's going to help you understand that. God's going to let you know whether you're a child, His child or not. And if you are His child, He'll give you peace. If you are His child, He's going to say, you are, but you're kind of off track right now. Let me help you get back to where you need to be. If you're not His child, this is what He's going to say. He's going to say, you're not my child. But I want you to be. I want you to be. This is what I've done for you to make it possible. I gave my one and only Son because I love you that much. He died for you, for your sins. And all I'm asking you is to trust me. Trust in what Jesus has already done for you. I want you to do that this morning. As we come to a close, we're about to sing a familiar hymn. Turn your eyes on Jesus. I think it's very appropriate that we sing this morning as we think about the recreated life and we think about the fact that it's not us doing the work, that it's God who's recreating us in Christ Jesus. Maybe this morning, you find yourselves with your eyes off of Him. Won't you turn back toward Him? You know what you're going to see? Can I fill you in? This right here. Wide open arms. And what you find there is an indescribable love. And an unfathomable grace and an unending mercy, because God loves His children and He wants them to come back. So maybe you've turned your eyes off of Him. Turn them back on and allow Him to continue that work of recreation that He began in your life when you first said yes to His invitation. Maybe you find yourself this morning, you've never looked to Him. Look to Him today, please. I beg of you. I plead with you. Look to Him today and commit your life to Him and allow Him to begin that work of recreation. Because let me tell you, no matter what you try in this world, it will never satisfy. It will never work. Only Jesus can truly save you. Only Jesus can truly transform you. Would you look to Him today?
I ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. Holy Spirit of God, would you have freedom to work in the hearts and minds of those who are present, of those who are online. God, I pray that you would help us to turn our eyes back to you. God, I pray for those of us who we've taken our eyes off of you for just a moment. God, help us not to avert our eyes from Jesus anymore. He doesn't have crossed arms that are open. Help us to run to those open arms. I pray for those that maybe have never looked to Jesus. God, through your Holy Spirit, convict and begin that work of reconstruction, of recreation. Today, I pray in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to continue in an attitude of prayer as Becca and Al Ray begin to sing this wonderful hymn, Turn Your Eyes on Jesus. Would you please, I beg of you, either where you're at or here at the altar, turn your eyes back on Jesus.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's life for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory. And
this, as we sing this next verse,
through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we
want to say thank you for being here today. Thank you for your wonderful attention. We're going to have an opportunity here in just a moment to continue our worship in our giving. Our men are making their way back, so as you leave today, you have an opportunity to place your offering and your tithes in the plate. Want to also say in that regards, we are still in the midst of our Bottles for Babies for Choices Pregnancy Resource Clinic. Many of you have taken a bottle. Just remember, next week is officially the last week that we're collecting those bottles and that change, or however you choose to give. There are some bottles available if you have not had an opportunity to pick one up, or if you filled one up and you still have change left over, put it in another bottle. It goes to an incredible cause here in our own backyard and here in the River Valley of helping young women and young men know that there is an alternative to ending a life. Again, tonight, be aware, 5 o'clock, we'll be in the fellowship hall. We're going to write some notes to some of those families from Vacation Bible School. Tuesday, again, 10:30, leaving here from the church, those who are, desire to go on that senior adult outing. And then remember, Wednesday night activities will kick back off at 6 this Wednesday. All right, let me pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your presence here today. Thank you for your faithfulness to us, for your grace and your mercy that makes us that's available to us every morning. Thank you for making us new. Thank you that in Christ Jesus we can be recreated. And I pray that as we leave this place today, that there would be evidence of that recreation in our lives. I pray that as we receive this offering, that you would bless it, Father. Use it for your honor and your glory and for the advancement of your kingdom. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.